Well, hi everyone. Today is Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024. It's Easter week, the Passion Week here at Sunrise, and we are talking about everything that happened in Christ's life during that week, his last week here on this earth. Welcome to the Backshed Bible Study. Okay, so if you've been following along, you know that yesterday we went through everything that had happened on Monday in Christ's life in that last week here on this earth. And we talked about him cursing a fig tree and heading into the temple and cleansing the temple and turning over the tables of the money changers. Some pretty radical stuff that Jesus did. And it is, let's just say he's ramping up. There's a lot happening here. And if you missed any of yesterday's, you can go back and find that online, either on our YouTube or on the podcast or on Facebook page. But today we're zeroing in on Mark chapter, we're going to be in Mark chapter 11 today, starting around verse 20. And the whole idea of what we're doing is that you would be able to take the things that we talk about here just in these 10 minutes or so, and then dig into the scripture later today or even right afterward, and make this a great devotional journey through the Holy Week. All right, here we are. Like I said, we're in Mark chapter 11. And the disciples had been staying, Jesus and the disciples had been staying up at Bethany, and they would come down kind of from the Mount of Olives and down through Gethsemane and in that area in the Kidron Valley there. They'd head into Jerusalem over by the temple. It's kind of a move from east to west, and then they would, at the end of the day, head back up to Bethany where they would spend the night and have conversations and so on. The first thing that happens here is this moment when the disciples come across that fig tree that Jesus had cursed the day before. And it says, passing by in the morning, as they passed in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. Jesus says to him, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. And therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And then he says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And I'm not going to dig really deep into this. Again, the whole idea is to provide you a framework through which you can do some devotional reading yourself. But two things stand out for me here. First is the faith of prayer, and that when we pray, we should be praying with confidence, with expectation, knowing that God is answering. Now, we don't always like the answer God gives us, but we should know and have confidence that God is going to answer our prayer. The second thing I pick up out of this passage is forgiveness, in that it is so important and necessary for us to forgive those who are wronging us, who have wronged us, who will wrong us. And this is so important in light of the fact that on Friday, Christ is going to be crucified. He is going to be up on the cross and saying, Father, forgive them. It is one of the most powerful things. So many people in modern day talk about how the message of Jesus is tainted because of his followers and their lack of forgiveness. Well, the message of Jesus is, part of the message, I should say, of Jesus is forgiveness. And that is something that's imperative for every follower of Christ to be able to display in their lives every day. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And Jesus was going to have to live this lesson out for all of us to later understand. Okay, so we move on from the withered fig tree. So Jesus curses the tree and it just dies. Some of the reference material that I'm following along with talks about as the temple controversies in Jerusalem. And so you have a lot of things. Remember, Jesus had gone to the temple on Monday and turned over the tables of the money changers in so many ways, claiming authority over the temple. And so they come back and they are questioning him. In verse 27 of Mark 11, they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and scribes and the elders said to him, they came to him and said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them?" So Jesus is not ready at this point to go full on, "I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I am the authority." Instead, he kind of catches them with a little bit of a trick question. He says, "Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me." So they discuss it with one another, and they say, "Well, if it's from heaven, he'll say, well, then why didn't you believe him? But we say from man, but shall we say from man?" They were afraid of the people, for they all knew that John really was a prophet. So they're talking about John's baptism there. And so they answer Jesus, "We don't know." And at this point, Jesus says, "Then I'm not going to tell you." Awesome. You go on. We're going to keep on moving on through Mark chapter 12. And you have the parable of the tenants, which is a crazy story of the man that plants the vineyard, puts a fence around it, takes off, and has a servant go check it out. They kill his servant and his son and so on. So you have that parable, a great one to spend some time in if you have the time. They talk about paying taxes to Caesar. This one is one that has always impacted me personally. When the Pharisees, and it says, and some of the Herodians are trying to trap him in his talk, and they say, you know, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And this is that great answer that Jesus gave. Show me the coin. Whose picture is on it? Caesar's? Then render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar. Render unto God that which is God's. By the way, this passage is what I use to not justify, but to as a foundation in my own personal giving. And that is that I believe Scripture teaches you should give before tax, not after tax. And so you give a portion of all that God has given to you, not just what's left after the government takes their share away. So I use that one there. There's a lot more to it. Again, dig deep into this yourselves. We have the Sadducees in verse 18 asking about the resurrection. Well, the Sadducees don't believe that there is such thing as a resurrection. And so that provides some kind of stimulating conversation there. And then you have this moment where they ask what the greatest commandment is. And we see here, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second commandment being this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." And at that point, Jesus talks about loving your neighbor. And he says to the man, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And then towards the end of this chapter, verse 35, "Whose son is the Christ?" And you have that one. "Beware of the scribes" in verse 18. And then verse 41, you have the widow's offering, right? You have this woman that is coming into there with two small copper coins, which essentially is about a penny to us. And he calls his disciples, he has them look and says, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they contributed out of their abundance, She contributed out of her poverty and has put everything she had, all she had, to live on. And that is where we can gain some theology for sacrificial giving. Giving when it hurts, not just when it's easy. So many of us want to continue to make more money so that we can give more, and yet Jesus shows us a radical level of giving that he would call us to. Chapter 13, and so the rest of chapter 13 rounds out all of Tuesday. We have Jesus foretelling the destruction of the temple, and there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And so then they head back over to the Mount of Olives, and you have what is considered kind of the Olivet Discourses, is one name for it. And if you understand the Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane area, is as you head over there again across the Kidron Valley, and this is not a long walk. You're talking to get to this area, you're really talking anywhere from 15 to 45 minute walk from the temple. It's not not a long walk. Peter, James, and John and Andrew are asking him privately, what will these things be? What are these signs that all of this is going to be accomplished? And Jesus starts to exhort them, be sure that nobody leads you astray. People coming saying, I'm he, I'm going to, they said, don't be alarmed. Like these, there are going to be wars, there are going to be rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed. This must take place. The end is not yet. And that is something in which I take a lot of solace, in that the times are hard and people are always going to be scared, worried, fired up, whatever you want to say it is, about whatever is happening. And you know what? These are the signs of the times. There's always probably going to be a little more. Nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines. These are what he calls the beginning of birth pains. And then what I'm going to kind of close today out with is the following bit, Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. Be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. That is so rich. Please understand that. That as we are put on trial, God will place on us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the words that he wants spoken to those who are going to receive them. It says that brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents, have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And boy, if that isn't something for today that I get out of this passage, is that times are going to be hard, the birth pains are hitting, the end times are coming at some point, but it's going to be okay. And when it's time for me to stand and give account, God will give me the right words. He will speak through me using his Holy Spirit. And so that's what I get, just a couple of things that I get out of this passage. As you go on in the Olivet Discourses, you have some conversations about end times, the abomination of desolation, the coming of the Son of Man, fig tree, and so on. And then he finishes up with, no one knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows exactly when it's going to happen. And finishes with, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he suddenly come and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. And so as we continue on in this Easter week on Tuesday, Jesus told his disciples, stay awake. Let's stay awake as we head through this Passion Week and beyond. That's it for today. Let's pray, and then we will move on with our day. Thank you, Lord, for your word coming alive to us today. And I pray that each one of us would stay awake, that we would be recognizing the signs of the times, but not to become discouraged, but to know that you have placed your Spirit in us to give us power to speak boldly in your name, that you are in control. You are faithful, God. And may we be alert and stay awake. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, again, 9 o'clock if you want to join along with others. And that will be as we head through Jesus doing more teaching in the temple, followed by the Sanhedrin and their plot to kill Jesus. And then even in the late into that evening, the preparations for the Passover. We'll jump into that tomorrow, Wednesday. In the meantime, you all have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for joining me for the Backshed Bible Study Podcast today. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. The Backshed is hosted by yours truly, Cliff Carey, and is a ministry of Sunrise Community Church in Fair Oaks, California. The Backshed Bible Study can be viewed live every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on Facebook at facebook.com/sunrisecommunityonline. All video episodes are also available at youtube.com/sunrisecommunitychurch. For more information about Sunrise and its ministries, go to www.sunrise.church. We hope you're able to join us again next time here in the Backshed.